Hey everybody, welcome back to Vertical Vision. I'm Ernest Twinklia, and I'm so glad you can be with me today. A few days ago, I came across a news article that grabbed my attention. The headline said that Richard Dawkins claimed to be a Christian. Now, this caught my eye. And if you don't know who Richard Dawkins is, he is a world-famous biologist, author, and he is a champion of atheism. Okay, he wrote a book called The God Delusion and How God Doesn't Exist, okay, and other books that promote atheism and attack religion on all sorts of different levels. So to see the statement that Richard Dawkins claimed to be a Christian was absolutely a surprise to me. So I checked out the article, and it was an interview back at Easter time with the British news outlet LBC News. And what was going on is that in London, as I understand it, Easter was not being promoted, but the Muslim holiday of Ramadan was. And to use the words that I saw in the article, Richard Dawkins said that he was slightly horrified by this. And it's because of the values that he's concerned about with Islam. And he said of England, and I'm quoting, he said, "I do think we are culturally a Christian country. I call myself a cultural Christian. I am not a believer, but there is a distinction between being a believing Christian and a cultural Christian." And then Dawkins also noted, "I love hymns and Christmas carols, and I sort of feel at home in the Christian ethos. And I feel that we are a Christian country in that sense." Later on in the interview, he said, "So I call myself a cultural Christian, and I think it would be truly dreadful if we substituted any alternative religion." So what Dawkins was saying is that as a moral framework, a framework of ethics to build society upon, that Christianity was the best option. As a matter of fact, back in 2013, in an interview on The Thinking Atheist, Dawkins stated that Christianity is a bulwark against something worse. And that's pertaining to a worse religion. But here we have this atheist seeing the value of Christian morality, Christian living. And this isn't unusual. You may be familiar with the Canadian psychologist and author Dr. Jordan Peterson. And he regularly addresses the value of Judeo-Christian ethics and morals in our society. And the world that we're living in is coming apart at the seams. There are so many things going on, and all you have to do is look at the news, and there is violence. There is aggression, there is anger, there is fear, there is division, there is frustration, there is hopelessness, and the list goes on. And here we have people seeing a positive and valuable framework to live by in Christianity. But here's the thing about this. Christianity, as far as being a moral compass, can only do so much for the world, because Christianity can't be followed or enjoyed to the fullness without Jesus Christ. Yes, there's a lot of good that comes from following the teachings of Jesus, but they cannot be lived out and enjoyed to the fullness without having Jesus in our lives. And one thing that I note and I see is that a lot of people are open to Jesus and they're open to the Christian values in the sense of morality and ethics, how you treat your fellow man, but they really have an issue with people who call themselves Christians, because a lot of times people who claim to be Christians don't live a Christ-like life, okay? And what we see here in Dawkins' comment about him being a cultural Christian, not a believing Christian, brings up a point that there are a lot of different types of Christianity out there today. There's, you know, evangelical Christians, there are progressive Christians, there are liberal Christians, there are born-again Christians, there are cafeteria Christians, just pick and choose whatever you want from the Bible and from Christianity, and so on and so forth. So I think it's really important for us to understand what a Christian is, so that as we live in this time and people are looking for hope and they're looking for stability and joy and love and purpose in this life, they can look at us and see what Christianity is all about. And more importantly, they can see Jesus Christ himself. And this brings me to something that I read from comedian Bill Maher. And this is something he had said back in 2006 on the O'Reilly Factor. But he really brings out this discrepancy between what Jesus taught and how people who call themselves Christians live. He said, "Jesus, as a philosopher, is wonderful." Now, mind you, this is an atheist talking, okay? He said, "There is no greater role model, in my view, than Jesus Christ. It's just a shame that most of the people who follow him and call themselves Christians act nothing like him." So what I want to do in today's podcast is look at what a Christian is and what Christianity is. Because if we understand what Christians are or what it means to be a Christian, then we can, for ourselves, have a better understanding of how we're supposed to live our life as Christians. And also, when people talk about Christians and Christianity, we can have an educated dialogue with them to help them understand what true Christianity is and what a true Christian looks like. And I want to look at these things by going to the scriptures and looking at some other terms that were used for Christians and Christianity, okay? So the first thing that we need to look at is that a Christian is somebody who has been born again, all right? Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in John 3, verse 3, and this is what Jesus said to Nicodemus: "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless someone is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So you can't get to heaven unless you're born again. Well, what does that mean? Well, born again is also translated as born from above. And a person is born again when they believe the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. They believe what he says, that we are sinners. And as sinners, we're going to stand before the judgment seat of God, and we will be judged for our sin. And then nobody is righteous enough to stand before God on their own merit. We're all sinners. We've all failed, okay? So the judgment of God, which is eternal death, condemnation to hell, that's heavy duty. That's what awaits somebody who tries to be righteous on their own strength. We can't do it. So a person who's born again realizes that they're a sinner and that Jesus went to the cross to die for their sins, to pay the penalty for what they did so that God could forgive them of their sin and that they could be in right standing before God. And they entrust their life now and for eternity to Jesus. They give their life to Christ. And the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, comes into that person's life and changes them from the inside out, begins to work in them. And literally, as they yield to the Holy Spirit, He conforms them, changes them to be more like Jesus. Okay? So to be born again, is to believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior, and then to surrender your life to Him and the Holy Spirit coming into your life and living in you and changing you into the man or woman that God desires you to be, all right? So you have to be born again, first and foremost. A term that was used for the early Christians was the term disciple, okay? As a matter of fact, Jesus commands His people to go and make disciples of others. This is what He said in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all that I commanded you, and behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." So a disciple is a person who disciplines their life to follow the teachings and the example of their master. And a Christian's master is Jesus Himself. Okay, so if we're a disciple, then with the help of the Holy Spirit, we walk in the ways and in the example that Jesus Christ sets for us. Okay, that's a key element to being a Christian. And I think part of the big problem that we have today is that many churches are not making disciples. They're not doing what Jesus said, teaching people to follow all that He commanded. Okay? And so because of that, people aren't walking the way that Jesus walked. They're not walking according to the things that He taught. A lot of churches are about making converts. Okay? Get people into the church. Make church members, get the numbers up, those kind of things. But we see very little of Christians making disciples of other people, teaching them how to walk and live the life that Christ taught us. So that's one term used for Christians. Another term that was used for Christians was the term believer. And this was because they believed the gospel. They believed the good news that Jesus died for their sins and rose from the dead. They believed He was God, and they trusted their lives to Him. Okay? Now, you notice that Richard Dawkins said he is not a believing Christian. He's a cultural Christian. So he does not believe that Jesus died for his sins. He doesn't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. He doesn't believe He's God. And of course, he has not given his life to Christ. But he sees the value of what Jesus taught. Okay? So Christians were called believers. Christians were called saints. Every believer is a saint. That word saint, the root of it is where we get the word sanctification or set apart. So a Christian is separated from their old life of sin by the Lord, and from the world, and they're separated to a new life in Jesus Christ. They're given a new life, all right? And we're set apart. So Christians should live a very different life from the world. And, you know, if you wonder what that life looks like, all you got to do is look at Jesus. All you got to do is listen to what Jesus taught. Okay. So these are those things that define what a Christian is. They are believers in Jesus Christ. They are disciples who follow after Jesus Christ. They are saints and they live a life different from the world. And no, I want to say this. Christians are not perfect. They don't have everything all together. It's a growing process. And the Lord works in us. And the Holy Spirit changes us and convicts us and helps us live the life that the Lord wants to. And one day, when we stand before Christ, we're going to have everything all together. We're going to have everything right because we've left this life behind. And we're living in heaven in the presence of the Lord. But it's a process, okay? So we grow in this walk with the Lord. And Christianity itself, back in the early days of Christianity, you know, in the first century church, Christianity was also called the way. And I understand that this is based off of not only the fact that Jesus said in John 14:6 that he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one could come to God except through him, but it also makes the point that the Christian life, the Christian doctrine, the gospel, is the path, it is the road, the way to God through Jesus. Christianity is not a way to God. Christ is the way and the only way. And so Christianity is just walking out that relationship with the Lord day by day as we go through life. And so I want to reiterate, you know, Jesus said that we're supposed to be the light of the world, and we're supposed to be the salt of the earth. Think about the character traits of salt, okay? Salt brings out flavor. You can take food that's bland, put salt in it, and it makes it taste better. You take like if you're making cookies, especially like chocolate chip cookies, salt is not sweet, but you put salt in the batter and it makes it taste better. So salt has that ability to bring out the flavor of something. And Christians, as salt of the earth, people should be able to see us living a life that really has the full flavor, the zest, and the spice of life, okay? Life is wonderful and it's precious and it's good in Christ, but they need to see that. They're wondering what life's all about. People wonder what their purpose is, and they're so used to just the day-to-day drudge and just existing and surviving life. But as Christians, we can show them the spice of life and what life in Christ really tastes like. And salt cleanses, it purifies, and it preserves things. And as Christians, when we are in the workplace or at home or in school or wherever we're at, our conduct, our lives should have a purifying effect and a preserving effect on the environment that we're in. Not that, you know, we're calling people out and saying, boy, you shouldn't talk like that, and you shouldn't think like that, and you shouldn't say that. That's not what I'm talking about. It's living a life that is so different that people are mindful of, hey, you know what? this is bad. This isn't good. I don't need to be doing this. And again, think of what Richard Dawkins and somebody like Jordan Peterson are saying about Christianity. They're seeing that the preserving of decency within a society that Christianity can bring. They see the preservative nature. They see that cleansing nature where rather than junk and yuck, there's goodness and kindness and love toward other people. And they should be able to see that in us. And then, of course, one thing that salt does is it causes people to be thirsty. And for us as Christians, people should be able to look at our lives and go, man, I want what you have. I'm thirsty for what you have. I want Jesus. Now, not everybody's going to be like that. And there are many people that don't want to have anything to do with Jesus, regardless of how we live our lives. I mean, look at Jesus himself. He lived perfectly. He taught perfectly. He walked the walk. And everything he did was good and right, and people still despised him, okay? But the fact is, people should be able to see our lives, and those who want something more, something better, they should be thirsty for what they see in us. And then, of course, as light of the world, light illuminates. And our lives should help other people see who Jesus is, to see him better, to see themselves better and their own personal condition, to see the love of God better, to see the grace of God better. And I think when we're in these times that are so dark, it is key for us. We are able to really shine for the Lord. And in the darkest of places, the smallest light can cast such a bright, bright beam. And that's us. We can do that. So when we look at what's going on and we hear people like the atheist Richard Dawkins and the person who's searching but not a believer like Jordan Peterson and so many other people wanting something more and seeing the value of Christianity just as a moral framework, may we look at this as our opportunity to live for Christ to the fullness, to walk in his steps, to love as he loves, and to allow the Holy Spirit to work through our lives and help us to live like Christ, so that people can see, hey, it's not Christianity I need, it's Jesus Christ, because he's the one who is going to make their life better now and forever. He can save their soul. He can put them in right standing before the Father. Nobody else can. And Jesus wants us to be that salt and light. So again, I encourage you, look around you, and in the midst of the darkness, seize the opportunity. Ask the Lord, how do you want to use me today? Help me to shine for you in my home, in my work, in my neighborhood, in my church, wherever I go. Help me to bring Jesus into that place. The world is looking. The world is lost. And we are the ones that the Lord has sent. So may we live in a manner that glorifies our Heavenly Father and points people to Him. Thank you.